what Deb would just pointed out to me, in that part the Herald Angel said, the third stanza there, heart, hail the Son of Righteousness. They put S-U-N instead of S-O-N. See, my wife is so good about finding typos. And so anyhow, I never noticed that. But anyhow, praise God. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord with you guys today. And if you didn't know, this is the first day of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah. And we're going to be doing a little talking about that. Just a little bit. Does anybody here know what Hanukkah's all about? And why it happens around Christmas time every year? Boy, have I got some news for you. Pretty interesting story. I did some reading. What brought me to this, and the title of the sermon is Keep the Light Burning. Amen. And so with Hanukkah, it has a lot to do with the burning light. And so before we get into this, let me go to the Lord in prayer and see if I can give you some history lesson, and then we'll get into the teaching of God's Word. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We love you so much. Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord God, for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you, Father, for being the life and the light of man, that we might so show our works that the world can see your good works and they would glorify you, Father, because of the Church of Jesus Christ today. And Lord, we thank you and we want to praise you and walk with you wholly and completely. Father, we just want to die to ourselves and live for you and with you evermore. And thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hanukkah, or the dedication, is really what Hanukkah means. It means dedication. All right? So this happy dedication day. Well, what started all of this was about 168 years before Christ. A long time ago. There was a Syrian king by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. All right? Antiochus Epiphanes. Everybody say that three times in the dark, right? Antiochus Epiphanes. And Epiphanes is the name that he gave himself, and it means the illuminated one. Antiochus, the illuminated one. That's who he thought he was. And he was a Syrian king, and as the Syrians conquered the Hebrew people, he sent his soldiers into Jerusalem, and he forbade them that they could not worship the way that the Hebrews worshiped. He went into the temple and he took all of the things of the temple away. He took all of their the Holy of Holies. He broke into that. We'll get into all that here in just a minute. But he forbade the Hebrews to worship any of the feasts that were set down from God through Moses and to the Hebrew people. They weren't allowed to do those things anymore. And the Hebrews kind of went along with that. His attempt was to abolish Judaism and to put in the Greek idols, so the Hebrews wouldn't worship the one true God, but they would start worshiping Zeus and Jupiter and all of those things that the world worshiped. Kind of like the Democrat Party today, right? Not a lot different from them, from those liberals and stuff. But anyhow, the people of God took it until they couldn't take it no more, and this is what it comes up to being. One of the slogans that he had was to turn or to die, convert or burn. That's what he put on the temple walls. Either Hebrew people, you decide to convert to what I'm telling you, or I'm going to burn you to death. And he did that to a lot of Jews during his day. He set up an altar of Zeus in the Holy of Holies and taking and covering up the most holy place. So this was a very wicked guy. In fact, it could be said that he was a forerunner of the Antichrist. And when he was there, he actually sacrificed a pig on his altar in the holy place and took the blood of that pig and put it all in the temple of God. Well, that was the last straw. The Hebrews said, we're not going to do this anymore. And you've heard of the book of the Maccabees, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Maccabees. Well, this here was right around the time that is recorded in the second book of Maccabees. All right, and there's one of the Maccabean sons. His name was Judas. All right, and Judas, he is actually considered the hammer of Jerusalem, or his last name, or his name means hammer. And so he led a 3-year revolt against the Syrian Greek leadership, and he did guerrilla warfare, and so when they had a chance, they would attack them here and there. But they eventually, through the power of God, overran the Syrians and pushed them out. And then they started cleansing the temple. All right? So once they got the Syrians out of the way, they started washing the walls. They started cleansing all the temple. And in that cleansing of the temple, it came to the point where it's almost ready to dedicate. And they said, well, we need the special oil for the menorah. And they went looking all over the place. They only found one jar, one day's worth of the oil for the menorah to light on the inside of the temple. So by faith, they prayed about it. And they said, God, it's a big thing. I got enough oil for one day, and it's going to take at least 8 days to purify more oil. And so we're going to, by faith, we're going to start the fire now. All right? We're not going to put off the dedication any. We're going to start the fire. And so they took that one jar of oil that they had, and they put it in the menorah, and they lit it up. And it burned for 8 days. Just long enough for them to get new olive oil made, purified the way that it's supposed to be purified, and to replenish the oil that they needed in the temple. That is Hanukkah. It is also known to the Hebrews as the festival of the dedication. Jesus went to this festival. It was a very important day, still is. But Jesus went to the dedication, the festival of the dedication. You find that in John chapter 10. Verse 23, it says that he attended the feast of the dedication, and that's he went to Hanukkah there. And while he was there, and he was in the temple, one thing that he said in verse 30, this was the first time that he came out before the Jewish rulers and said that I and the Father are one. But you know that caused a stink, right? The Hebrew folks, they said, man, we've got to stone you. You said that you are like God. So I told you all of that stuff, maybe to put in our hearts and our minds that a little rededication might be due in my life, right? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes a Syrian visits me, right? And my temple gets dirty. How about you? Do you know that you're the temple of the living, the Holy Ghost, right? How many here needs a cleansing, right? But you're kind of tired. Feel like you've been beat up this year? I just ain't got the power to do it. Well, maybe it's time to take what you do have and put it in the light and set it on fire. Get it to burn it. See what God will do. This lighting of the menorah and the way that it worked, as I saw this in there in one of the things I read this week, he said it would be like you being in a place and you only have 5% left on your cell phone, right? And the miracle is that your cell phone kept working for 8 more days. Right? You had to use it. You had to have it burning. You had to have it running all the time. So you're an emergency worker and you had to have it going. But there was no place that you could charge up your cell phone until 8 days. And so you left it on, and by faith, God kept your battery charged up where you were able to do whatever you needed to do until that time. Well, this festival of light, or the festival of rededication, is very much like that, Hanukkah. So as we're coming up to Christmas, and it always happens right around this time of year, Hanukkah and Christmas, they run hand in hand together. I want us to think about today our temple. I want us to think about today how weak we feel. Do y'all feel weak? I mean, like, yeah, I do. I feel like I just don't have anything left to give, right? And I'm searching in my temple right now, even today as I'm standing before you, I'm searching myself, where can I find a little bit of oil? Cal, where can I find this oil? Now, praise God, the Lord woke me up at 3:30 this morning. I got here about 4. Right? I got here at 4 o'clock and I found the oil, right? I found it in the Word of God. I found it in knowing Him and having my faith in Him and His ability to keep me burning, amen, to keep me lit up until He has time to refine more oil for me, amen. I know that we're coming close on Christmas, and I know that
in Christmas, everybody gets burned out, right? Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Life is hard. And we have an enemy that's against us. We have that Syrian king that is against us continually, coming against the church, coming against, and he's always trying to pollute the body of Christ in our temple. And it's time that we need to be more like the Maccabees. It's time to clean the temple, right, and find whatever it takes for us to get enough of him to shine his light in the darkness that we're going to be surrounded by. Go, right? Jesus tells us to go. Before we go, I know that my temple needs some scrubbing. I don't know about you. Y'all are probably much better than I am, right? You're gooder than what I'm good. So y'all might not need the scrubbing that I'm going to scrub with today, but if you want some soap and water, you want a little bit of hyssop, you want the right vinegar to scrub the walls down with, come with me. All right? So this is the real reason that Jesus came, right, to earth, to share that light, right, with men. It's time for us to take the little bit of oil that we have and really trust Jesus with it. It's time in our lives during the season, during the Christmas season, as we're running low, it's time for us to run the Syrian out of our life. It's time to run the sinner out of our life. It's time to get right with Jesus and say, God, I cannot defeat this thing on my own. I need you. I need you because I have given my best and I can't do it no more. Oh, and when you get, amen, sister, when you get to that point where you can't do it no more, and you say, God, here it is, right, here it is, this is your fight, not my fight, I can't go one step further, I give it all, guess what God does? He says, I've been waiting for that, I've been waiting for that all season, I've been waiting for you finally get to the point where you can't take it no more. As Popeye would say, I've taken all I can take and I can't take no more, right? And you open up the spinach. I'm going to call the Bible the spinach. You open up the Word of God and you start digging in there and you're going to find the thing that you need to give you enough oil to burn from now until when you have time to truly refuel with Christ. Jesus said, or John the Apostle wrote, oh, before I get there, this Christmas, we need to dig a little deeper. That's what I've been talking about. All right, folks, it's time to be a little bit more than just the star, right? The star in Bethlehem. It's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more than the angels singing, hallelujah, glory to the heart, the herald. This season ought to be a little bit more than that. And it ought to be a little bit more than the shepherds coming and finding the Christ child away in a manger somewhere. Oh yeah, Christ is born and he is the light for men. Right? It tells us in John the Apostle in chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. He said this, John the Apostle said this, in him, in Christ, it says was the light, all right? I'm going to put is because he still is the light. In him, in Christ, is life. And the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Do you see the problem there that John was pointing out? Jesus came. He was the light, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except through me or by me. Right? So Jesus, God in his infinite wisdom and mercy and love and grace decided that there is a sin problem on the earth. He knew it. He says, I've got to do something, so I'm going to come and I'm going to be not just life, but I'm going to be the abundant light for anybody who will come. I will be the light shining in the darkness, but I'm not going to be a little light. I'm going to be a bright light, an everlasting light, an ever-powerful light, to light the inside of my people, those who trust me, that they can expound and express the goodness and the grace that I have for them. That's what Christmas is all about, that God became a man to not just give you life, a little bit of life, but an abundant life through him. He came to be the light so that we could know the way to help other people find the way, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? It is a light unto my path.
We need the light of Christ in our lives in such a way that we can see where to go, when to go, and how to get there, right? Anybody here ever try to follow, be out in the Adirondacks or up in the mountains somewhere where there is no light and you're following a trail and it gets dark? You get lost easy that way. You'll get off the trail really quick. Oh, but if you've got a little light, you can shine that light, you can pretty much know where you're going. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But what happens when that battery starts to fail or your oil starts to get a little weak? Light gets a little dimmer. Well, God says, if you trust in me, I will give you a light that cannot be extinguished. If you will walk with me, you follow my way, no matter how dark the trail gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how rough the seas or the storms of this life become, I will be your foundation. I will be your light. I am the Word that was with God. In the beginning was God, that was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things that were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, right? And then that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Glory to God for that. Right? So in that, He is the life, He is the light, He is the Word that became flesh. That's what Christmas is about. All right, it's not about the shepherds, right? And praise God, there were shepherds that came and worshiped the birth, the coming of Christ. It's not about the angels that showed up in the pasture that night and proclaimed His birth. Praise God, they came, and their glory lit up the field. Glory to God for that. But that's not the main crutch of the whole story, of the whole account. It was that God became man, that we who are lost in the darkness can see the great light, that our lamps can be refilled and really produce the light that He wants to show.
Amen.
Not the light that we have in and of ourselves, but His glory, His light, His goodness, His righteousness can be expounded through us if we would just rest for a while at the foot of the cross.
Man.
We get tired sometimes. I don't know if y'all get tired, but I get tired. Sick and tired. Amen.
Amen.
And I know that often I just don't have what it takes. But praise God, He always has what it takes. He always has what it takes. 1 John 1:5-7. This then, since He has, all right, He made a fellowship with us. He is our light. He is our life. He is our peace. He is our abundant life, right? And He came to renew a fellowship with us and the Creator, all right? And John says, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, this is the message, all right? Check this out. This is the message that God came, that He's who He says He is. This is what the message is, which we have heard from Christ, from Him, and declare unto you that God is light. I like that. God is light. He is light. When I am in darkness, who do I need? Jesus, I need God. He is light. He is the one who's going to illuminate me. He's going to bring me where I need to be. He's going to give me direction. And in Him is no darkness at all. The only problem with me is there's a lot of darkness in here, right? And God is light. What's going to, you cannot have light and darkness at the same time. I mean, true light. Think about this. In heaven, there's no shadows. You ever think of that? Even right now, I look down, there's a shadow. I lift up my foot, there's a shadow under me. There's a shadow behind me. Wherever the light's coming from, there's a shadow on the other side. But when you are in true, perfect light, the light of God, there is no shadow. No darkness at all. Oh, what a glory that is. Have you ever thought of being in a place where there is no shadow? I can't do it. Right? I can't do it. But in Him, in God, there is no shadow. There's no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him, oh, I'm a Christian. I love you, Lord God. And we choose to walk in darkness. All right? And let me read it just like the Bible says it. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. All right? If we say that we have fellowship with God, that I am born again, that I am His, and I continually walk in the darkness of this world and never go to get my oil lamp refilled, I never go and seek His illumination, I just live in the darkness, guess what I am? I'm a liar. And the truth is not in me. You can say that you know God. There's a lot of people that say they know God, but they still walk in continual darkness, not desiring to find the light. Now, there's a difference of falling in sin or slipping into daily temptations and you fall a moment or two, right? Everybody does that. In fact, it tells us in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, then we're a liar, right? Because everybody sins and comes short of the glory of God. But if I choose to live in that sinful lifestyle and desire not the light, and I say that I have fellowship with God, I'm telling a lie. Oh, how I need my lamp filled up every day, right? I need His grace in my life. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and I have a lifestyle of darkness, we're liars and do not the truth. All right, but if I walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen? If listen to what He says here. Where should I pick up in 6? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And do not the truth. You're not doing truth. All right? Now, is truth a concept or is truth a person?
It's a person.
It's a person! Amen! Truth is a person. We've always had this concept or a thought of truth because we think of truth in the way of the world, right? If I'm not lying, I must be telling the truth. But Jesus said, I am truth. You want to know what truth is? Get to know who Jesus is. You want to know how to walk in the truth? You walk in His ordinances. You walk the way He tells you to walk, and you'll always be in truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. All right? It's a light into the path that I'm walking. Thy word. And who is the word?
Jesus.
In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen? So the Word, the spoken Word, the Word of God, He is a person. And it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christmas. That's what Christmas is. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, the light of the Most High. Wow. Fries are done. Yeah.
You gotta love that, right?
And so, yeah, and so, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, guess what we have? Fellowship. We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with Him. We have a right understanding of who He is and who we are. Fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? See, you can't have cradle, the manger, the angels, the shepherds, the wise guys that came some 3 years later. All right? All those things, they don't matter any without the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? Over the manger was the cross. Right? We need that blood of Christ. And that cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Yeah, God came down. He wrapped the perfect light of God, the Shekinah glory, came to earth and wrapped itself, the Christmas present, in human flesh. Jesus was that present. The glory of God wrapped up in the stench of humankind. Wow, did you ever think of that? That God, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, said, I love mankind so much that I'm going to take my glory and I'm going to become covered in the likeness of sinful flesh. All right? He wasn't covered in sinful flesh, but He was covered in the likeness of sinful flesh. Glory to God for that. That He loves us so much that He left perfect light, peace, and grace to come and dwell like us. To be tempted in every way. The same way, who here thinks that God hasn't been tempted like you've been tempted? God, you just don't understand. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Right? And nobody understands like I understand, God. Wait a second. You may have been able to say that before Jesus. All right? But now, He was tempted in every way. He knows what it's like for your own relatives to turn against you. He knows what it's like for your best friends, your disciples, your best friends to turn their back on you as you're being nailed to the cross. He knows what it's like for your father to turn his face away from you as you became sin, or he became sin for us. So He knows everything. He knows what it's like to be hot. He knows what it's like to be cold. I don't think in heaven that you could have ever gotten God hot or cold. He controlled the thermostat, right? He knows the perfect temperature. That's what God has in heaven. But He came to earth. God never knew what it was like to be hungry until He became a man. Now He understood what hunger and thirst was. He never understood what it felt like to have a blister. Can you imagine what kind of work would it take to give God a blister? Couldn't have one. But think, Jesus had a whole handful of blisters. Splinters. He was a carpenter's son, stepson. He understands everything that we are being experienced to. He gave us His light. Right? Do you know that God, through salvation, gave that Shekinah glory to dwell inside of you? Do you know that you are a child of light? And we think that all we have is this much oil, right? Just a little bit of oil. I only got enough oil for another week, God. What am I going to do? Jesus said, trust me, and set it in the candle. Trust me, put it in the menorah. Trust me, light it, and watch what I do with the little bit you have. Mm-hmm. I will shine through you in ways that you cannot understand. I will be in you a light that can reach all mankind if you will just let my oil burn in you. And before it runs out, guess what? You're going to find an abundant supply. Just like they did at the end of Hanukkah. At the end of the dedication. At the end of the 8 days. When they only had enough oil for one day, by the 8th day, guess what? They had more than enough. More than enough. You think you ain't got nothing for God today? I tell you, you've got more than enough. The problem is we're refusing to burn it. Burn it, I refuse to burn it. Oh, if we would just set what God has in us, if we would trust Him with the little bit we have, little as much when God is in it, right? Suffer not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little as much when God is in it. Suffer not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it when you go in Jesus' name, right? If you'll go in Jesus' name, you go in His power, you go in His supply, you'll never run out. Right? There's what it is. That's what you go with what He gave you, with what He supplied you. You take the little bit that He has in you, trust Him with all of it, and guess what? It will be an abundant supply. More than you'll ever burn. You got to trust Him enough to go that way. Again, it's not so much about a star. It's not so much about the angels or shepherds. It's not even about Mary and Joseph. Christmas is about God coming down, Jesus coming down to set the captive free, to give light into the darkness, to allow you to be a candle that can be burnt, that you could show the light, right? We'll get to that in a bit. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, again, chapter 3, verse 17. And he says, Well, first, let you know that Jesus came to set the captive free. But in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is great news. I am so glad that that little baby Jesus, although that he had the power to destroy the whole world, everything that is in it. Remember, he told his disciples just before he was crucified, he said, I have the power to call down legions of angels and I can take care of this stuff. You ain't got to worry about me, but I am going to the cross for you. I'm going to be what you need. See, God didn't send Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you did not come to condemn me. I'm not to be condemned. He came to give me a way, the light back to the Father. He came to show me a way that I could not find on my own. He came to be that light for us, that the world through Christ might be saved. Now, Jesus was brought into this world to offer a way out of condemnation. See, I was born under condemnation. You know that? You were born hellbound. Every baby born, if they don't come to know Jesus Christ by the time them, they're going to go to hell when they die. You know what you're saying?
His little infants still go to hell.
All right, I'll agree with that. But a child who knows anything, if he dies, right? And if they know the difference between right and wrong, and they know the difference between God and good and evil, right? And they have heard that a child is 6 years old. Does a child of 6 years old go to hell? I ain't going to say one way or another because I don't know if that child was saved or not. But I do know that if they had a chance to hear and they rejected the cross, if they died, like all of us, would be cast out. It's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing to say. But I'm not God. He says it in his word. Okay? It's the only way to get in. It's through Jesus Christ. How many go to the Father? None except through him. None go to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why it's so important what Deb's doing in that little kid's room right now, teaching those little babies, those little children, you know, about Jesus Christ. That's, I tell you, folks, that's a great thing to do, to show them the way. Jesus was brought into the world to offer us a way out of condemnation. This is what Christmas is really all about, to give light to those who are caught in the darkness of sin, to give a freedom from the Syrian, a way out of the darkness and into light and life, as it told us in John chapter 1, right? Jesus was the light, the life, and the light for men. That's why he came. That's what Christmas is all about, is that he came. Verse 18 of the same chapter there, of John chapter 3. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This isn't unlike the cleansing of the temple back in that fellow's time, Judas Mac. I've been saying his name all day.
Maccabee.
Thank you, Maccabee. You're so smart.
He said.
Judas Maccabee.
For a voice.
Yeah, there you go. They have comic shows like that, right? Yeah. So anyhow, I didn't see your lips move, but she spoke. Yeah. So anyhow, Jesus came for that. He came unlike, this is not unlike the cleansing of the temple, the light in the menorah. Him being willing to be that light, to be it. He came not to condemn us, but to give us light. He came not to condemn us, but to show us life. He came not to send us to hell, but to give us a way out of hell that we're already bound for. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about all the entrapments that we get caught up in. We get so messed up in the things of the world. God says, listen, this is what light is. This is who I am. In verse 19 of the same chapter, chapter 3. And this is condemnation, that light came into the world. All right? that light came into the world, but man loved darkness more than light, because their deeds were evil. See, Jesus sent no man to hell. Men chose darkness, and they were condemned. The light came. The oil bearer came. The one who would supply your every need came.
And if we choose not him, it's not his fault. He paid the price. He paid for sin on Calvary. Every drop of it, he paid for it all. But if we don't want him, if we choose to walk in darkness instead of his glorious light, we choose condemnation instead of salvation, we choose unrighteousness instead of righteousness, it's not God's fault. He came. He came as a baby. He came and lived a perfect life before God and before man. He came and he died on a cross for my iniquity and for yours. And if we choose darkness over light, we choose the world's way instead of God's way, it ain't his fault, babe. He did all he could do for you. Jesus paid it all, right? He didn't pay most of it. He paid the whole thing. All of it.
And that condemnation is that light came into the world. Christmas, the light was born. The truth was born. The truth, again, like we said before, is not just a concept. Light is not just a wave, all right? It is a person, and that person is real, and he loves you enough to die for you. He loves you enough to pour his blood out for your unrighteousness. He doesn't ask a lot from you. He asks everything from you, right? He's asking you to allow him to help you cleanse your temple that's been polluted by the world. You don't think you got enough to do it? I've done all I can do. I can't do no more. Jesus says, I will be enough for you if you will just trust in me. So take the little oil you got, pour it in the menorah. Take the little bit you got and pour it out. Trust me. But God, I only got this much. It's not going to last me. God says, trust me. Trust me. I'll be your abundant supply. But before he becomes your abundant supply, you've got to dump it out. You've got to give it. As long as you hold on to that little flask of oil because you don't think you can do it no more, I've got to hold on to what I got. You end up holding on to what you got, and you end up with nothing. Because what you got ain't nothing. But what God has for you through Jesus Christ is an abundance that cannot be contained. That little jar you have is enough. It's enough. And when it does finally run out, you don't think that there's any left. Oh, you're about ready to think that last little bit of oil you got and that last little bit of flour you got, and I'm going to make me a little cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. And the prophet says, feed me first. Before you feed me first, I want you to go out and I want you to get all the vessels that you can, because that little bit you got's not going to run out if you trust God with whatever you have. If you truly put what you have in his hands, it will be an abundant supply. I know that's true. Jesus told the church, he's told his followers in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, ye are the light of the world, all right? A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstick or on a lampstand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, take that, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? What are we doing with what God has given us? What are we doing with that little bit we have?
Do you think God is able to make the little bit you have go until the abundant supply comes? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it for you. I believe it for me. But it takes a simple word, a hard thing to do. It's a simple word. It's easy to spell. Starts with F and ends in eighth. It takes a little thing to take the last you have and pour it out before the Lord, that He can take the little you have and make it last until the abundance comes. Amen? It's Christmas. Yeah, it's Christmas. It's not so much what's under your tree, folks. Really, has nothing to do with it. Not so much about the manger. It's not so much about the angels or the shepherds. The wise guys.
Wise guys.
It has so little to do with that. It's all about Jesus. Him being the light. Him being the oil. Him being enough. Is Jesus enough for you? Take what you got and dump it out. Right? Dump what you have out. And let Him refill you in a way that you cannot underhand. You can't count. You can't grab it. You can't contain it. Anyhow, that's all I got to say about that. I love you. So, there is no good way to finish these, is there? And so, dear Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I pray for the folks that are here and for the folks that will hear this message through the internet, Lord Jesus. I just pray that your word would go forth, Father. We take the bread and we cast it upon the waves, and we are anticipating your moving. Father, I'm anticipating your abundant supply. Lord Jesus, I pray that we take all we have and pour it out, God, by faith. That you would increase it, that you would move over it, that you would make the little we have last until the abundance come. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.